This Focus with Paul W. Smith podcast is sponsored by Victor's Home Solutions. Visit victors.com, experts in home solutions.
It's Friday!
Yay!
Oh, you can say that again.
Yay!
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
No, no. Thank you very much. It is Friday, the 26th of April, a weekend not soon forgotten. With our NFL draft kicking off last night in a way that we could have only hoped for, breaking the one-day attendance record with more than 275,000 people. That's just the first night. And as the commissioner, Roger Goodell, said, folks, keep it up and you'll break the all-time record. And I have a feeling we will indeed do that. Welcome in on this Friday. We've got lots going on in this afternoon. It's another sunny, beautiful day. And the team is here. Mike Parsons, who you wake up with in the morning on First Thing with Mike and Renee from 5 to 6 in the morning, Monday through Friday. Danielle Mason, pressing all the right buttons and being called into action on all of the shows. They ask, Danielle, you've been officially deemed the young person to ask questions of. Have you noticed that?
I have noticed that. This kind of started with Joe Gannon. He used to ask me young people questions, too.
Well, but everybody was young to Joe, so.
Paul was the young guy on Joe's show.
Yeah, I used to be the young guy with Joe. But God bless Joe Gannon. What a sweet man. I got to call him and see how he's doing. Matter of fact, hope he's doing well. What a wonderful guy.
Charming fella.
So Danielle is here. Rich Luzinski, our WJR traffic and weather first here. And a lot of people are streaming us. It's what all the cool kids are doing. Streaming us at WJR.com, the WJR app, or the podcasts. And if you can't be here noon to 2, I hope you'll tune in on the podcasts. I was on the injured reserve list yesterday. Thank you, Terry Radigan, chairman of the Detroit Sports Organizing Corporation. He did a nice job. He always does a nice job when he fills in for us. And you were down there, Mike Parsons, holding his hand and guiding him. And he didn't need a lot of help, but I know you helped him. And what was it like down there? Pretty incredible, huh?
I mean, they had to open the doors 20 minutes early. And probably before noon, the place was full of people. It wasn't quite to capacity, but there was quite a crowd very, very early on in the day.
And they actually had to close down much earlier than they thought.
Yeah, an hour and a half before the draft, they said, that's it. Footprint is at capacity, so no one else is being let in.
Which is, you know, I felt bad. I saw one of the newscasts, some guy said, oh, we drove 4.5 hours and then we couldn't get in. Who knew? No one knew it would fill up so quickly, so early and so quickly. Nobody knew. They'll know today, and I suspect people will be there much earlier today, don't you think?
Yeah, and I guess the temperature wasn't an issue. 40 degrees and cool at night didn't keep the crowds away.
No, it started at 31 degrees when I first checked the temperature, about maybe 7 in the morning, I'm not sure. And then I think it only got up to 55, I'm not positive. But no, nothing kept people away, and everyone seemed to be having a blast, a grand old time. So to set the record and do all the things that we've done, and all those people, I thank them in my Monday Monin column after the great old Bob Talbert. I thank him in my Monday column because, and I can't thank anybody by name because there are hundreds of people that made last night happen and will make tonight and Saturday happen as well. Our J.J. McCarthy from Michigan, he went number 10, right, in the first round. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, number 10. There were 5 quarterbacks taken in the top 10.
Record breaker.
Yeah, a 6th one was taken a few picks later. But, yeah, and the big shocker was that the Falcons took Michael Penix Jr., a quarterback, after they went out and signed Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, didn't they sign him for gazillions of dollars?
Yeah. So, I mean, look, Michael Penix Jr. is a heck of a quarterback, but he would have been better used on a team that needed a quarterback. Everyone was kind of scratching their heads at that, including Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, if I were Kirk Cousins, I'd double-check with my agent and lawyer to make sure my contract was secure no matter what they end up doing.
Right. I don't know. It never seems advantageous to create a quarterback controversy, whether there is one or not. And this is going to create that.
I'm looking at my monitors, it occurred to me so many times I didn't get a chance to say it. Doesn't it seem appropriate that the head of the National Enquirer's name was Pecker?
And is he the only witness that the prosecution has? I feel like he's been prosecuting forever. And he
I don't know. He can't have that much to say.
Right. Even though this is like his fourth day of testimony on the
crazy,
stand.
Crazy. His name is Pecker. All right. So yesterday.
All rise. Never mind. Never mind. I was going to make a pun. Never mind. No. His family it's show. Right. Family
yes,
show.
It is indeed, and it always will be. But we, yesterday, because some people said, how could you miss this? I had to get to a doctor. I've been putting it off forever because I'm a man, and men do stupid things like putting off going to the doctor.
That's why we die before women.
It's one of the reasons. You're absolutely right. Well, so this time, Dr. Joshua Collins said, you got to go see Dr. Bill Matsouris. And I said, okay, all right. This is specifically for my shoulder. I also have lower back issues, which are causing it. It's hard to walk, for God's sakes. But the shoulder has made it so I couldn't even sleep. But I went to see this Dr. Matsouris at Henry Ford Health. I didn't even know there was a Henry Ford Health in Royal Oak. And I got to salute Bob Riney and the whole team there at Henry Ford. This is an incredible facility. I think it's a bit of a secret. I don't know that everyone knows there's this beautiful, very modern new facility there, Henry Ford Health in Royal Oak. Easy to park, easy to go in. I was just very, very pleased. And Dr. Matsouris, Greek, as you can probably tell. And I was told about him by another Greek doctor friend, the guy that we went to his daughter's wedding in Greece this last summer, Evan Theo Harris. And Evan had some surgery done by this guy. Dr. Bill Matsouris looks about 25. He is not 25. He is actually much older than 25. He's not old, but much older than 25. And what a great team. Kenesha, Dejane, Brittany, Travis, Kalen, George, Michael. I mean, these are all the people in his team that I saw in their office yesterday. And I got one of those famous shots in the shoulder that I've heard about from so many people. And it did offer some relief. And I'm waiting for it to offer even more relief so that I can actually sleep.
Yeah, and I mean, this is something that you've been struggling with mostly privately. You haven't talked about it a whole lot, so hopefully, it sounds like they found some answers, and hopefully, you'll be on the road to going back to living a normal life. Because
I would like that.
Because when it comes to pain, no matter how well you manage it, nothing is normal.
Nothing is normal with pain. I'm glad you understand that, Michael, and. You know, I've complained enough to family and friends, but I've kind of kept it off the air pretty much, and I just need to get fixed. We've got our Pure Michigan tour coming up. We're going to go see Sophie and her study abroad in Switzerland. I want to be able to get around, and that's what Dr. Collins and Dr. Bill Matsouris is helping us do. How about them saying? Somebody said it. I don't remember. It could have even, I don't know who said it. I'm not going to pretend to know, but somebody said J.J. McCarthy going to the Vikings is the best quarterback to ever come out of Michigan. Do you realize what they're saying?
I think Jim Harbaugh either said he's the best or he could be the best. I think that was Harbaugh who said that.
To imagine that he's talking about somebody being better than Tom Brady. Now, look. Tom Brady didn't even go until, I don't know, he really liked telling people how he didn't go in the draft initially. He went through layers and layers and layers, and that made him be a better quarterback, he said. But,
well, if you remember, when Tom Brady was here, Michigan fans didn't even want him starting. They wanted Drew Henson here. So, he was under the radar until all of a sudden he's winning all these Super Bowls.
Yes, I know. You're right. He really started to shine once he was in the pros.
He peaked at the right time, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. Hey, Wendy's, Kim just sent this to me. Wendy's is giving out free French fries every Friday for the rest of 2024.
Ooh.
I thought you might like that.
I
youngest
do.
Person here, Danielle. Friday, it's hard to believe it took somebody this long to cash in on the fact that it's Friday, because I don't think anyone's ever done this before.
Right,
Fridays.
So maybe it's going to turn out to be a bad business decision if no one else has tried it.
Maybe people thought about it and figured out why they shouldn't do it. But anyway, they're giving everyone a free any size hot and crispy fries with any, yes, any purchase every Friday through the end of the year via, oh, here's the key, via It's Wendy's app.
Yeah.
You have to do it on the Wendy's app.
All right, there it is.
So that's they get your all your information, and then they can, you know, they can put you on their mailing list or do whatever they want to do, I guess. But it's worth any size fries free, don't you think?
I don't know. Here's the thing. I don't need an app for everything I do. That's you know, all these restaurants with their apps. I just rather go to the drive-thru and get my
free
fries.
You're apped out? You are apped out?
I am. I mean, there's only so much room on our phones.
So you're going to opt out of the apt.
I'm going to opt to be apped out.
I would say you would opt to be apped out. No, you'd opt to be apped out of the app.
Yeah, we'll figure it out during the break.
By the end of the show, we should know how to say this. It is Friday, which makes us very happy here in Focus with Paul W. Smith and the team at WJR. Do-do-do-do-do. Well, it's been fabulous. There's no question about that. We're breaking records. In fact, it was, if you remember, 2 years ago, maybe a little more than 2 years ago. I'm sorry, what was that, Mike Parsons? Did you say something to me, or was that? Okay, is there? Okay, good. But 2 years ago, the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, remind me to tell you my Roger Goodell story one day, challenged the city to break the event's attendance record. Mission accomplished. Last night, just like that, the figure they're using, over 275,000. The police are saying 400,000 for people who visited the city yesterday, throughout the city, throughout everything. So that NFL number of 275, according to our friend Christopher Moyer, is the draft footprint. And of course, Chris says, come back tonight, come back tomorrow, come back, and we're going to keep setting records. Right you are, Christopher, and we want to do that. We are on pace to smash the 3-day attendance record, which was set in Nashville for like 600,000 people. Be that as it may, a guy who has been having as much fun as anyone, and that's saying a lot, is our friend Anthony Bellino, Monroe's own AB, as Lomas Brown calls him, during Sports Wrap, which is on weeknights at 6 on WJR. And for this special moment in Detroit, they're on 6 to 8 again tonight. And Anthony, I got to tell you, you just started with us full time not too long ago. You've got to be as happy as anybody in being able to start at WJR and do what you've been doing already.
Paul, it has been, I mean, you want to talk about dream come true. You want to talk about great timing, just all of the stars aligning for this to all come together and for us to be able to do as much as we have done. You know, we have Spin on Golf coming up on Sunday that I'm going to be hosting at 6 o'clock. So that's a lot of fun. The draft has been awesome. Our Detroit Economic Club luncheon that you've had us for, Paul, it's nonstop and a great time in the sports calendar. When you think about the regional semifinals and finals with the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight being at Little Caesars, the NFL draft, the Grand Prix is right around the corner, the Rocket Mortgage Classic is coming up. It's like an event every single month, and I couldn't be happier.
It is astonishing because, as I've said a number of times, I'll say it again, any city in America would be thrilled to have one of these events. And we have, just as you listed, many events, and it's just starting. We are just starting the spring-summer season of fabulousness. And then you add to that, I don't want to go too far too quickly, but we'll have the Ford fireworks. We'll have the, there a lot of things. But let's go slower and more slowly, I guess, and enjoy what we do have. And the next big thing would be the Chevrolet Detroit Grand Prix presented by Lear Corporation. I think that's the next biggie if I don't have the calendar in front of me. But let's talk a little bit about what it was like being in. I got emotional watching on television the big from the air pictures of these 275,000 people standing there and loving what they were experiencing. And then the pull-away shots of the city under the bright, sunshiny sky. And then as nightfall started happening and the lights go on in the city, and then those shots of the city of Detroit, I couldn't have been more proud. And like I say, it got emotional from above looking at it. What was it like for you in the midst of it?
It was simply incredible. The mass wave of humanity that flooded, because I got down to the WJR set there at the Cube on the corner of Congress and Woodward extra early. I went down with Ken Brown a couple hours early so we could walk around and get a feel for it. And I looked at Ken and I said, there's at least 150,000 people here right now. And he said, you think? And I was like, well, imagine a Michigan football game. That's exactly what we're walking around in. And when you got the feel, the smiles, people just happy to be there. The overall wave when they had to cut off the entry point because there were too many people inside. And so DPD was out there to hold the line. And I really think back to what Dan Gilbert has said on this great radio station, putting things in motion, and you have to see it to believe it. You have to believe it in order to see it, that type of deal. The amount of work that guys like Claude Molinari, our governor, Gretchen Whitmer, you think about Mayor Duggan, you think about Terry Rattigan with the Sports Commission, all of these people coming together, our very own Mark Hollis, with an idea on how to get, because the draft is really bigger than the Super Bowl. It's a three-day event here in the city, and to see all of these visions and ideas come together and culminate into last night, what a special moment for everyone.
Well, more people can participate in the NFL draft than can participate in the Super Bowl. And they figured that out a while ago, and they are. And you'll be back at the Cube tonight with Lomas Brown. And then, as you already mentioned, Sunday you'll be hosting Spin on Golf. So you got a lot going on, my friend, and that's all good. Let me, I love J.J. McCarthy because I'm a Michigan grad and all the rest of it. Is that a good place for him with the Vikings?
I think Minnesota's a very good place for him. And the reason I think that is because they already have some of the pieces of the puzzle in place. You know, a lot of times when quarterbacks get drafted, they're going to teams that struggle on the offensive line, that don't have much of a defense. There's too many question marks across the board, right? That's why you're picking at the top of the draft, because you had a bad year. I think J.J. to Minnesota makes a lot of sense. I think with Justin Jefferson, that gives him a premier number one wide receiver on the outside. So that was one of the quarterback fits there that kind of a lot of draft analysts had J.J. pegged for Minnesota. The question was, would they have to move around to get him, or what would have to happen there? To see 13 consecutive offensive players come off the board, an NFL record, it was nonstop. To see six quarterbacks come off the board as early as they did in the top, 12, 13 picks. That was simply incredible. It was a historical night, and it culminated with our very own Detroit Lions making a trade, going up to get the guy that they wanted, Alabama cornerback Terrion Arnold. I mean, that is just great selection.
It's once again, the general manager, Brad Holmes, shows us he knows what the hell he is doing.
Boy, isn't it nice to have somebody in charge that knows what's going on?
Yeah, well, I don't want to point any fingers, but yes, and he really knows what's going on. And to go for and get exactly what the Lions needed is just phenomenal.
He was the number two cornerback ranked, the number 11 ranked player overall, and slid all the way to 24. And Holmes and company said that, nope, we're going up, we're getting him. Go get the guy we want. A beautiful thing. Brad Holmes, I build a statue of him, Paul. Let's get the statue built right now.
Well put. As Lomas would call you, AB, I'm still trying to get used to that because you've always been Anthony to me, Anthony Bellino, for way back to the years when you were working on my show as an intern, and I couldn't be happier for all of your accomplishments that you have already gone through, but there's so many more ahead of you, and I have nothing but confidence and faith of you. Anthony Bellino, co-host of Sports Wrap weeknights at 6 with Lomas Brown. Tonight they're at the Cube for 2 hours Sunday he'll be at Spin on Golf, and the beat goes on. Thank you, Anthony.
Thank you very much, Uncle Paul. I appreciate you.
You take care. It is 1228 at WJR. Sunny, beautiful day once again as we end the week and check in with the guy we always like speaking with, editorial page editor of the Detroit News, columnist as well. You see him on the television programs, and you can just follow Nolan Findlay very easily, and a lot of us do. Nolan, you and I have been around a long time. We've never seen anything like this. We've never seen anything like this.
No, not even close, right?
It really is spectacular. And there'll be little hiccups and little bumps along the road, but with 275,000 people on the footprint, 400,000 people, according to the police, in downtown Detroit yesterday, and we're going to have big numbers again today. I have every reason to believe we're going to break the record. This is a wonderful time for Detroit, and frankly, a very important time for Detroit.
The weather's cooperating, and it does. You know, you can pull an event off like this with so much activity going on that's unscripted and that you can't anticipate. You can do about anything, I think. I mean, I don't know that anybody really knew what to expect when we got into this in terms of that many people coming to town. I still, still not sure what everybody's doing, but it's an awful lot of people, and they seem like they're having a big time.
Yeah, we don't know exactly what they're doing, but we know they're having a great time.
And
I get emotional when I look at it, and when, you know, the flyover and the national anthem, I just always get emotional, and I've stopped making excuses or apologizing. It's just the way I am. But to see all of those people having such a great time and getting, for many of them, it could be their first taste of Detroit. It could be a whole new bite of Detroit, so totally different than what they have seen in the past or what they might have expected by coming here. It's very powerful. But let's talk a little bit about some of the other news that's pretty powerful, too. What we're watching with the former President Donald Trump, and here's the thing, whether you support him or you despise him, you've got to look at what's going on and realize how wrong it is, how political it is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what I wrote in my column yesterday, I think. It's Republicans have dubbed it lawfare. Well, you know, it is a weaponization of a legal system against political opponents. And, you know, this idea that because it's Donald Trump, anything's justified, and you're going to try to take him down by any means necessary, I think it's very destructive to our system, because that's not going to go away when Donald Trump's gone. I mean, that attitude that the end justifies the means, and our institutions, our Constitution, don't matter because this cause of getting rid of Donald Trump is so righteous. And it's a very dangerous thing for us. And you have, you know, all of these cases that could have been prosecuted before, some of them shouldn't have been prosecuted at all, brought just at the time when you might expect Trump to be out on the campaign trail, rallying voters, raising money. And he can't do that because he's locked in a courtroom in New York City. And so, you know, it was an intentional strategy by the Democrats. And, you know, I think it's working.
Well, it sure seems like it is. And it's the hubris is unbelievable to have President Biden, when he can not say pause, like you read, when they put pause on his teleprompter, and he's supposed to just pause, but with him, he goes, pause. You got this guy who has the hubris to say, I'm out here working with the American people and campaigning. He's in a courtroom. Yeah, he's in a courtroom because you put him there, you jerk. Anyway, I mean, that, to be able to use that, this goes back to the Clinton era when the Clintons would claim that the opposing party would be doing something. We knew immediately that means they actually are doing it. I hope people remember that. Be that as it may, What do you think's going on with the Supreme Court? According to CNN, and if you'd expect it to be worded this way, it says, the Supreme Court appeared ready to reject former President Donald Trump's claims of sweeping immunity and the broad protections he has sought to shut down his federal election subversion case, but also reluctant to give special counsel Jack Smith carte blanche to pursue those charges. What do you say?
Well, I think there probably is some middle ground here, some reasonable outcome on this one. I mean, I think obviously you don't want to tell a president, and I think they can, even the conservative justices were questioning this. You don't want to tell a president that, yeah, whatever you do is you can get away with. I mean,
you don't want that to become an office that somebody wants to get into so they can run a criminal enterprise.
And I do think one of the justices did say, it's a presidential duty to appoint an ambassador, for example. But if you're taking a bribe in the process of appointing that ambassador, there shouldn't be immunity. And clear criminal acts, I don't believe, should be excused just because it's a president who commits them. I think most everybody would agree with that. The idea of presidential immunity is to protect presidents from lawsuits and from charges that stem from their official duties as president. For example, Harry Truman and the atomic bomb. You wouldn't want all of these people filing damage claims against Harry Truman because he, gave the go-ahead to drop the bomb.
And, right.
There are certain things presidents have to be able to do without worrying that they're going to end up in court. I mean, we've seen it at the state level. We've seen, how this can work. Remember how Bill Schuette and then Dana Nessel went after the Snyder administration for the decisions they made in the course of their duties as state officials in the Flint water case.
And yeah.
Fortunately, the courts got rid of that. But you do want some protection. You don't want to criminalize public service, but you also can't give
carte blanche.
To illegal behavior. So
quick note before we run out of time, Nolan Finley of the Detroit News. How is it, your simple analysis, how in the world could all of these students at all of these colleges across the country somehow be on the same page?
Well, there is when it comes to kids, and that's what they are, there is some contagion. There's also some organizing being done by outside forces. I do think we should be looking at who's carrying out these anti-Israel protests and who's uttering these anti-Semitic comments and harassment of Jewish students and who's advocating for Hamas, because we do have rules in this country that says if you're a guest here, if you're here on a visa, whether it's student or professor, and you are working in support of a terrorist group, which Hamas is, you're not welcome here. And I think we should start telling some people, you're not welcome here.
It'll be fascinating to watch, that's for sure, and disheartening at the same time to have people yelling death to Israel who have no idea what they're talking about, and death to America. Shame on them for that. Hey, you hate this country? Get the hell out. There are a lot of people dying to get into this country, and for good reason. You just don't know it because you're spoiled, and you never had to really sacrifice to get to this country. But to blame every Jew, especially every Jew in America, that has nothing to do with the decisions made by Netanyahu, and in fact, many of them are not on his side, is just beyond my comprehension. It's just ridiculous. All right.
Oh, that's the classic anti-Semitism, Paul.
That's the cause?
That's the definition of anti-Semitism.
I got you.
To blame Jews for all Jews for things they've had no I mean, American Jews have no culpability here, no responsibility.
But if you plugged in virtually any other minority to these woke kids, they'd be totally against this concept.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, it's a very dangerous thing, I think. And I think the Jewish community has to work really hard to protect their children and to protect their rights in this country. It's a shame, but it's necessary.
And I Nolan think, Findlay, you
know, perhaps they've been a little too quiet.
Well, that's true. Nolan Findlay, editorial page editor, columnist, all-around good guy for the Detroit News. Have a great weekend, Nolan.
You too, Paul.
Thank you, sir. We continue on WJR. Disgraced Hollywood producer Harvey Weinstein. A lot of us forgot about him. Now we've seen him all over the place, now in the news. He's getting a new trial. An appeals court has ruled the judge in Weinstein's original case in New York improperly allowed testimony during his trial on rape charges. I don't think this affects the California charges at all, but we're going to find out for sure with WJR senior news analyst Marie Osborne as she takes a closer look at the ruling and what happens next. It was a shocker for a lot of people, Marie.
It sure was, Paul. So let's start in New York. That New York Court of Appeals found the judge in the case prejudiced Weinstein with rulings that included letting women testify about sexual assault allegations that were not part of the case. In addition, the judge also made a mistake when he allowed Weinstein, who had no criminal record, to be cross-examined about these allegations, as well as others, which were portraying him in a prejudicial light. The only remedy to all this, according to the appeals court, is a new trial. The 72-year-old Weinstein has been serving a 23-year sentence in New York following his conviction in cases that occurred in 2006 and 2013. Many of Weinstein's accusers, including actor Ashley Judd, said they were disappointed, but they will persevere, one saying, "Our truth has not been overturned." The charges followed newspaper reports of allegations in 2017. The allegations helped fuel the Me Too movement. A spokesperson for Weinstein said that they're thrilled about the court's decision. Manhattan's DA says they plan to retry this case. And Paul, you mentioned that the California case. It's unlikely Weinstein will be released as he's been sentenced to 16 years for charges of rape and sexual assault in Los Angeles. That case, though, is also under appeal.
Oh, boy.
And it's also under appeal due to the same reason that we saw this ruling on, prior bad acts.
So what I'd heard was even if they get any ground here or mileage out of this, they would just switch him over to California to be in jail for that 16-year sentence.
Mm-hmm.
So that
right.
The idea would be to keep him under lock and key until they're done with all of this, or at least that's what seems to be the case. Can you imagine? I forgot there were more than 100 women who accused Weinstein of assault and harassment. He claims he never had any non-consensual sexual activity with anybody.
Mm-hmm. It's hard when you see all of those pictures of those women. And, you know, they all tell a very similar story, independent of one another. So, yeah, and these cases go way back. And you also remember at the Oscars one year, I don't remember who was hosting, but, you know, they made a joke on stage about Weinstein's casting couch. So this was like a very open secret, if you will, in Hollywood.
That's what I heard, that everybody knew that was happening.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody was, I don't know why, but nobody was stepping up and saying, wait a minute, this has got to stop.
Power.
Until this
happened.
Power
and money.
Power
and money.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll keep you quiet.
Well,
don't you think?
It must have been. I mean, yes. But you would have thought that some of the actors who were much more powerful than many of the others, I mean, he took advantage of young, at the time, in terms of the industry, powerless women who desperately wanted to be stars, and he offered to make them stars. Now, I'm just trying to remember exactly. I mean, I haven't been hanging on this case for all these years looking back, but it occurs to me that he wanted to make them stars and said he would, and they wanted it so badly they would do certain things you would hope that they wouldn't do. Mm-hmm. But what about the big names? There were some pretty big names that were involved, like you just mentioned, and I don't understand why they didn't go after him, even with the worry of power and his place in showbiz and how he could make or break people and all the rest of that.
Well, you know, I think it's very similar when we look at the Larry Nassar case.
You know, it's funny you say that. He came to my mind as I was saying
that. Yeah, you know, you had Olympians there who had gold medals, and they still didn't feel comfortable coming forward.
And they kept going back to him.
Yes.
That's the part that really is, I just don't get. Yes. I've never been in that kind of situation, nor will I ever be in that kind of situation, so I can't imagine.
Right. But I think there's a lot of psychology here that's not clearly understood. And I think that that's part of the issue as well. And there's absolute fear. I mean, who wants to come forward and say that they were abused in this kind of way, or they participated or went along with something like this? It's just overwhelming, I think, for a lot of them.
It is overwhelming. And we have nothing but compassion for these folks, and this is for them. This is like another slap at them because they have to go through this all again, and that's not easy. It wasn't easy the first time. It won't be any easier the second time. And I guess this also shows that if you have lots of money, that you're able to carry on and do these sorts of things. I mean, otherwise, I thought this was all done and over, and that was it. He was in prison, and goodbye.
Well, there's always an appeal, as you know. These cases can go on and on and on. So, but we'll see. You know, I mean, the DA in New York says we're retrying it, and these victims, are saying no. We'll testify again. We're ready to do it again. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, good for them. I mean, they're not going to give up at this point. But it's certainly, can you imagine what it felt like when they found out this was happening? I can't.
And
it was, we've seen a little bit of it. Who was it you mentioned at the beginning, the actress?
Ashley Judd. She's very articulate.
Yeah, and I've seen more of Ashley Judd than anyone else in her reaction, welcome to a woman's world today with men or something. I mean, it was horrible. It was horrible thinking about it. All right, Marie, thanks much.
Thank you.
WJR Senior News Analyst Marie Osborne. We've got another hour here on this Friday afternoon. It's Focus with Paul W. Smith. Happy National Pretzel Day. I like pretzels. They're pretty healthy for you, too. The pretzels.
Without the salt.
Without the salt, yeah. But what's a pretzel without salt? Well, better
bread
for you, but it's still you like the salt. The origin of the pretzel dates back to the 7th century Catholic churches. The rules of abstinence and fasting during Lent were much stricter than today, forbidding Catholics from consuming dairy, eggs, or meat. This led to the creation of pretzels, which were the perfect food to eat without violating any rules.
Wow, I didn't know pretzels were a loophole.
I had no idea either. The unique knotted shape of pretzels became a symbol of union in Switzerland in 1614, with weddings of royal couples featuring pretzels to represent the bond of matrimony. Okay, this is getting too much. But I guess that's where the phrase tying the knot would come from. Right?
I was thinking that, but is a pretzel a knot?
Yeah, pretzels can look like it's a tied knot.
Okay. Well, that's as good of a theory as I've heard from that
thing. Well, it's the only one I've heard, so I'm sticking with it.
Okay, deal.
Somebody else said the shape of a pretzel is also thought to signify joined hands during prayer. I haven't looked at a pretzel long enough without eating it to know any of this.
Yeah, they don't last that long.
No, in my hand, a pretzel is gone. I like them so much. Meanwhile, as you hear, Mike Parsons from First Thing with Mike and Renee, 5 to 6 a.m. Monday through Friday here is our executive producer. Danielle Mason running all the controls and earlier officially declared the youngest person around. We use her as our young person for her opinion on things. A lot of pressure, Danielle. A lot of pressure.
I don't don't feel the pressure.
I felt that you didn't feel the pressure. I'm here to tell you, you're a spokesperson for a whole generation.
Wow.
And she speaks for all young people, so whatever her opinion is the opinion of all people.
That's it.
Yeah, even toddlers.
Well, apple juice or orange juice?
So what are you? What am I? I forgot what I am. I'm old.
Boomer?
I'm a boomer. Okay. What are you, Mike?
I'm an elder millennial.
An elder millennial. And what are you, Danielle?
I'm also a millennial.
Oh, okay.
But I'm at like the end of it. Is it the end or the beginning?
You'd be a younger millennial.
Yeah,
You're a younger millennial than Mike, if he's a millennial. And Rich Luzinski, I don't know if he can pull himself away, in the middle of WJR traffic and weather first. Rich, what would Rich be? Silent is what Rich would be. All right, so
I could say Rich is a millennial. He is 1 year minus 2 days younger than me, so.
Oh, okay. All right, so there you are. Meanwhile, there's a couple of things going on here. First of all, we're so thrilled with how well it went last night for our first ever NFL draft. It was spectacular. Our Lions did well. J.J. McCarthy, many of us as Michigan grads, fans, whatever, wanted to see him do well. He came off 10th. There were more quarterbacks in the beginning round than ever, from what I understand. And thanks to Terry Rattigan, the chairman of the Detroit Sports Organizing Corporation, for sitting in for me while I was off on the injured reserve list taking care of business. And the Cube again tonight with Anthony Bellino and Lomas Brown is going to be great from 6 till 8 p.m. And if we keep it up with 275,000 officially on the footprint, as Roger Goodell said, we can break the record. We broke the one-day record, the first-day draft attendance record. We broke it. We can continue to do well and break the whole thing, you know, tonight and tomorrow. So it looks beautiful out now. It should be just fine. People realize they have to get there earlier than they thought because, unfortunately, some people were shut out because it filled up faster than anyone would have guessed.
Yeah, and I mean, Mike Duggan tried to warn us, and I think it filled up faster than he thought. But he said, look, if you're not there hours before, it's like the fireworks, but even bigger. I mean, the fireworks, you have to get down there by 3, 4 o'clock, or else you're not going to get a spot. So that goes double for this draft.
And again, I can't reiterate enough a good job that the Lions did getting exactly what they needed, and they did it in a classic way, but they have Terry and Arnold, right? Did I get that right?
Is that his last name? He's from Alabama.
Terry and
Terry and Arnold.
Terry and
correct.
Arnold.
Yep.
Once again, the Lions general manager, Brad Holmes, shows us that he is a wizard.
I was looking back at some of his draft picks because – you know, he's got a reputation of these later rounds where the magic, he really works his magic. I mean, we got Amon-Ra St. Brown in like the fourth round. Sam Laporta, he was a late round pick, Rodrigo. But he has hit on every single one of his first picks. The first draft pick he ever made was Penei Sewell. He just signed that monster extension, and he's an all-pro. And then it was Aiden Hutchinson the next year. And then it was Jahmyr Gibbs last year. So, I mean, I don't want to say he's automatic, but he's pretty darn good. And it wasn't that long ago where you had absolutely no faith in our general managers making good draft picks. Yeah. Now we expect it.
It's funny how we move from one extreme to the other, don't we?
Like, we're not even worried. I'm like, all right, hey, if Terry and Arnold was first and we traded up for him, he's got to be good.
By the way, Kim, for one, is suggesting you earned the drummer when you said you didn't realize that pretzels were a loophole.
You know what? I didn't even think of that.
I didn't either.
I fell backwards into a puzzle. Well, thank you, Kim. You're giving me a lot of credit, but that even missed me.
I didn't. I just haven't thought of the drummer very much. He hasn't been around very much. Much of the television I see during the day are these monitors with no sound on.
Right.
And I just see what's going on there. And I honestly have no idea most of the time what really is happening. For example, I saw a robot dog coming through like a woods with everything on fire, and then it was a flamethrower. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I saw
this.
Did
you see it?
Yeah, I saw it online. It looks like something out of the Terminator.
Well, did you realize that an Ohio company is actually selling this robot dog with a flamethrower on its back? Anybody can actually buy one of these?
So it's not like for combat. It's just for general purpose. Any civilian can buy it.
It's bad.
What could go wrong?
Oh, my God. So much could go wrong that your next-door neighbor has a robot dog with a flamethrower on their back. What could possibly go wrong?
You know, when I was a kid, everyone just wanted a Furby. Now we got robot flamethrowing dogs.
Yeah. And for $10,000. That's just crazy. The technology is outrunning the law in ridiculous ways.
You know, I used to be afraid of AI. Now I think there's a little bit more of an immediate concern in my mind.
Well, I got to tell you, I think we all have to be concerned about AI. As I've said before, and I don't know who said it first, but man had no natural predator until we created it ourselves, and it's AI.
Right. Because we don't know where it's going to stop.
No, and we don't know, basically, if we can stop it. I just remember Hal from 2001, A Space Odyssey. You would have thought that would have warned people ahead of time, we better be careful with this sort of stuff. It did not. It did not warn people, I guess. Well, here we are, hour number two on a Friday, and so happy to have you with us. If you can't be here on WJR, 760 on the AM dial from noon till 2, and if you're just in town for this wonderful NFL draft, remember you can stream WJR easily at WJR.com or on the WJR app. And that means you can get podcasts of all the shows, including this one. So if you can't listen right when it's happening, you can go to the podcast at WJR.com. Down at the bottom of the page, it says podcast. Boom, you punch it there. Look for us. Focus with Paul W. Smith and follow along. We miss you when you're not here with us as we continue on WJR. I wish that people who do the podcast could hear the music that we use coming in and out. It's very clever. It's very good. But be that as it may, there's plenty of rules in life. There are rules, and we follow those rules here at News Talk 760 WJR. There are rules in life that everyone must follow, and when you don't, you can get in big trouble, as is the case with the story we're about to tell you with Macomb County Prosecutor Pete Lucido. Pete, it's always a pleasure, Mr. Prosecutor, to have you on board.
Nice to hear you, Paul. How you been?
I've been good. I've been very good, thank you. And adjusting to the new hours, not having some people say to me, "Oh, now you can stay up late." No, that was the problem. I always stayed up late. I always went to bed too late and got up too early. Now it's not that way. You've got a very important story. In fact, we've got a couple of them with you, and I appreciate your movement here, where involuntary manslaughter charges have been filed against the owner of an industrial building that exploded in Clinton Township. We remember it. And then we heard that far away, a 19-year-old was killed. And this would be the county's first filing of like this. I think there are certain rules and regulations as to what you can keep in a building, and this building was not supposed to hold what it had, I guess. Thousands of cans of nitrous oxide and butane. Tell us the story, if you would, Mr. Prosecutor.
Sure, Paul. For the listeners out there, you have to go and get proper permitting for anything that is like a flammable gas and or from the time the distribution comes, let's say it's from a dock in a container, there has to be proper protocol for inspection and then taken by licensed, certified people in trucks to go to these outlets where gas and or flammables are stored. And then you have to get proper certification from the individuals that are permitting within the municipalities around the state. Unfortunately, in this case here, there was not proper permitting. And as a result, there was an overabundance, thousands and thousands of cylinders of butane as well as nitrous oxide. After the explosion, what ended up happening is the ATF had to come in, the Environmental Protection Agency. There was seven or eight, in addition to the local police and fire and the emergency manager. And it's because we don't have laws literally in place to say they have a right to inspect. If somebody comes in and says, hey, somebody's got a whole warehouse full of these tanks. And as a result, I think we need some lawmakers to put on the books. If fire, police have a inspection, they're allowed to go there without a warrant, because you're talking about public safety for thousands, if not more than thousands of people.
Pete Lucido, Macomb County Prosecutor, I am beyond stunned and clearly disappointed that they don't have the ability, the right to do that now.
They don't. And it's this, Paul. Unless somebody drops a dime on the individuals in the township, cities, and villages, they don't have any knowledge. So they don't have any special knowledge to go out and look. The only time they inspect is when the person gets the certificate of occupancy after the intended use of the property has been looked at and certified and granted by the township.
But even if somebody drops a dime, as you put it, and tells them about it, they don't have the legal ability to then go in and investigate?
Not at all, Paul. Here's why. There is a what's called a fundamental right as it relates to privacy. And that fundamental right is enshrined in our Constitution. But as a citizen, shouldn't the citizens have more rights to make sure that, why is it that they're holding back and not opening the door? Is there something they're hiding or something they're doing illegal? We've got a lot of warehouses around the state. We don't know what everything in those warehouses are holding. And if somebody did go out and express that, look, and I saw a lot of stuff in there that doesn't look like it belongs there, at least the ordinance officer can check the property address and see if they've been permitted properly for what this person has stated. And if not, they'll ask permission to go and inspect. If they don't allow them in, they got to go get a court order.
The right to your privacy ends at the right to society's safety.
Correct.
Or it should. And you wouldn't have 19-year-old Turner Salter, who was minding his own business a quarter mile away from the business, hit in the head and killed by a nitrous oxide canister.
And that's why our office, after thorough investigation, review, and evidence presented, had to bring the charge of manslaughter, involuntary manslaughter, a 15-year felony. I wish that we had the ability to bring another charge, but unfortunately, this is the highest charge based on the evidence that was submitted and brought to our office.
Wow. And you've been busy, Pete Lucido, yep, Macomb County Prosecutor, because you have issued the first charges under the new safe storage law with guns after an 8-year-old boy shot himself in the head.
You know, Paul, let me make sure, set to tee this thing up the proper way. We were delivered information and evidence of a convicted felon. We have to start there. So the record and the report shows that he was a convicted felon who picked up a gun that was either stolen or lost, misplaced, whatever you want to say, out of Westland, but he bought it in Detroit. That firearm should have never been in his hands to begin with, because he was a felon convicted of possession of a controlled substance. And as a result, by breaking the law and buying the weapon on the streets, he now has an 8-year-old son who's in critical condition that fired that weapon and injured himself to a point where he may die. And now we have these safe storage laws that were put on the books. It's a 10-year felony. If you leave a firearm unattended on the premise and fail to store the firearm in a lockbox or container and keep the firearm locked, then any serious injury, impairment, you're being charged with a 10-year felony. In this case, this is the first one I've had a charge where an eight-year-old little boy, his own boy, is now in critical condition with three other siblings and a mother, and we now have locked him up, put him in jail, and now the whole family suffers as a result of this.
And this, in the beginning, from the start, is a guy who was not legally able to possess a gun, a handgun.
And that's why a lot of gun rights individuals are arguing, saying he shouldn't have had the gun to begin with. If he never bought the gun, none of this would have taken place.
Well, what are they arguing?
They're arguing the fact that we should focus more on the felon in possession of a weapon that was obtained illegally than the safe storage. I'd take both of them.
Yeah, I would take both of them.
I'd take both of them.
Yeah.
And the second thing is, buy a lock on the firearm so that we don't have these tragic events.
You don't even have to buy them. They'll give them to you at most police stations, the way I understand it.
I don't want to take away from a manufacturer, Paul, but I appreciate the fact that you made that known. You can go pick up a lock at your local police department.
Well, I'm all for people making a living and having business, but when it comes down to making it easy and safe for everybody, I can't help it. I got to speak up when I know something
right
like
on.
That.
Right on, Paul. Right
Macomb County Prosecutor Pete Lucido, don't be a stranger around here. We always like talking with you. We just don't get to do it very much.
I miss your smile, Paul, in person. So I'll take it through the air today, okay?
Okay, very good. Thank you, sir, very much. As we continue in focus on WJR.
Now, Movie Show Plus presents This Weekend at the Movies with Greg Russell. Sponsored in part by Wiggly's famous Eastern Market corned beef. Now, with the best viewing in the stream and on the screen, here are Paul W. Smith and Greg Russell.
All righty. And Movie Show Plus brought to you by Wiggly's famous corned beef. If you're craving Wiggly's famous corned beef, stop into Green Dot Stables at 2200 West Lafayette in Detroit. Enjoy their famous Wiggly slider topped with kraut, pickles, and mustard aioli. Simply the best. And if you're from out of town, you got to get a Wiggly's corned beef sandwich. You really do to just understand what we're talking about. Greg Russell, I was so close to Imagine Theater Royal Oak, and I couldn't stop just to get a barrel of real, freshly popped popcorn with real butter on it. And I haven't been able to sleep ever since.
Oh, no. I will have to bring some. One of these Fridays, I will stop in, visit our buddy Paul Glanz, and you and I will feast on the popcorn.
I will look forward to that. And I know I've dropped the ball. We're going to have a movie day or night where we invite our listeners. But I've had some things taking my mind off the target here. But I'll get it back on.
No problem.
As I understand it, you're down at the draft right now.
Yeah, we did the other show live in the D at Channel 4, you know, down here live on Woodward Avenue.
Yeah.
And so I was just walking around, and Paul, I got to tell you something. It's so funny. I've run into people I've known for 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years down here. And it is just so great to see our city look so beautiful, so vibrant, and, you know, just so alive. And everybody's having a great time, and we're all just enjoying. I got to thank the good folks at the show Born in Detroit. They're allowing me to use one of their offices right now to do the broadcast. So thank you, Born in Detroit.
Thank you, Born in Detroit. Is it crowded down there right now?
It's beginning to pick up more. When we first got here this morning, I mean, you know, nice crowd. But now as the day is going on, yep, it's beginning to pick up. Also, ran into another old buddy of yours, Billy Sims.
Oh, my. Yeah. Billy Sims. Yeah, there's a lot. There are a lot of great people you're going to run into. And don't be afraid to go up and say hi, because most of them would love for you to do that. 61 degrees there right now, going to about 65. So it'll be interesting to see. 275,000 last night in the footprint, but the Detroit police were saying 400,000 in the city of Detroit. Meanwhile, let's take a quick look at the movies that are in theaters and on Apple TV+. The one in the theaters, Boy Kills World.
Yeah, this one, if you grew up playing video games, especially Mortal Kombat, you'll probably really get a kick out of this. It's all about this guy. When he was growing up, something happened to his family. They were, you know, from some bad people. And thus, it caused him to lose his hearing and his voice. But his sister, who had passed away, is talking to him in his mind, directing him on how to get to these people. And once he gets there, it all of a sudden becomes a video game. And you can tell it is based a little bit off of Mortal Kombat, just by the way he acts and the different things he does. But it's also got a good little comedy twist in there. So if you like acting and comedy, this would be yours.
All right. Well, let's listen to Boy Kills World.
This was never a great city, but it was ours.
Are you with me? Always.
Until Hilda Vanderkoy took it from us. This is how she keeps control. They call it the Culling.
They're all gonna watch and cheer as you die.
That's me, facing televised execution by breakfast cereal mascots. Not my happiest day. But let me take you back to an even worse one. The day the Vanderkoys killed my family and left me deaf and mute.
Wow. I'm not quite sure how to react to any of this. First, let me point out, not a surprise, I've never played Mortal Kombat, just as a quick note. But that's so weird. It's just, it's weird on top of weird to me.
It really is. I mean, it's one of those where, again, if you're a gamer, you'll probably really get a big kick out of it. Also, it has a lot of comedy in it as well. So, you know, if anything, as far as our Wiggly's rating, we can give it a nice, you know, two right down the middle. Because if you're into that type of action, yeah, you'd get a kick out of it. If not, you probably just will wait a couple of weeks till it's streaming at home.
Okay, so that everyone knows what we're talking about. It's Boy Kills World. It is in theaters starting, I think, today. And if you want to wait, it might not be a bad idea to not spend the money if you already have the ability to watch it at home, like you have the ability on Apple TV Plus for the next movie called The Big Door Prize Season 2. Danielle, let's listen to that.
This machine is reminding people our lives have more than one possible path.
This machine is validating.
Mysterious.
Magic.
Destiny.
Your future.
I have so many questions.
Same.
The people in this town completely upended their lives because of a card they got from a machine.
That thing will tell you your life's potential.
The Morphos made everybody think about their dreams. And now it's saying,
are you ready for the next stage?
How do we get to the next stage?
Okay.
It's a different kind of series, but it's kind of mind opening where it takes these people. And like I said, it shows your, you know, your current life. But then it also then reaches into you to show you what your full potential, you know, could be. And then it makes you kind of the deal. You want to stay where you are, or do you want to go to this next level? But by doing that, you leave all the people and things that you're with now behind. And it's just kind of bizarre. It's like, you know, it's one of those where I think about it. It's like, you know what? I'm happy where I am. Yeah, you would like to do, you know, have a few more things or whatever. But I'm good where I am.
Okay. What are we giving this?
Well, this is a series, so they'll have, you know, all types of different things. You know, this one as well, kind of like down the middle, because it is an interesting concept of what would you do with your life? You know, if you found out that you could do, you know, better, per se, than what you're doing, would you give up everything you have now? And the thing is, I did interviews for that, and the majority of the actors said, you know, it sounds good, but now we'd all want to stay where we are with our families and, you know, the people we love.
Okay. Couple of sandwiches if you're paying close attention, I guess. And it's at home, so you're not wasting any money.
Right.
You're already spending the money. All right. I was going to ask you a question. I think the movie I said I was looking forward to, Jerry Seinfeld directs it, stars in it. I think, was that called Unfrosted, about Pop-Tarts and stuff?
Unfrosted, and I believe it starts next week. I had the opportunity to go to New York and interview Jerry the other week about the movie. And it's one of those, it's just a comedy. He'll even tell you, it's just for you to laugh about. But it's all about kind of like the fight between Kellogg's and Post. And really just how Pop-Tarts came about. And, you know, like you and I remember when they first came out with Pop-Tarts. And it's like, holy smokes. You know, even though this is not a real story, but it's kind of like based off of fact.
Is Jerry Seinfeld a tough interview, Greg? Because sometimes it looks like he can be, and other times it looks like he's not.
Sometimes, yeah. I've had it before where it is, but this time... It might also be the deal that he's a writer, director.
Yeah, he's all in on this project. He's going to, he will talk to anybody about this. He wants it to be successful. His first time as a director, writer, star, all of that. So I've heard that too. It can be difficult, but I suspect he was easy. And you say the same thing?
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, I told him about how, like, when I was growing up here, how we used to go visit our family in Kalamazoo. So we'd have to drive through Battle Creek. And, Paul W., I don't know if you remember this part, but when you drove past Battle Creek back then, you could smell the sugar in the air.
Yeah.
When they were making the cereal. And I told him about that. And also how we would do, you know, summer trips there for a tour. And how the funny part is this cornflakes would be going down the conveyor belt. And the guys were like, hey, grab a handful. Have some more.
Boy, times have changed. But here's what caught my attention real quick. In Variety, just a couple of days ago, Jerry Seinfeld says, quote, the movie business is over and film doesn't occupy the pinnacle in the cultural hierarchy anymore. Disorientation replaced it. What caused him to say that, I wonder?
I don't know if he maybe has some young kids. Because a lot of the, you know, younger people who are, say, under the age of 16 or so, they just kind of want to sit around and watch things on their device. They're not really much into going to the movie theaters.
Interesting.
Hopefully we can get switched around.
I thought that came out because his movie came out and it didn't do well. But I'm glad to hear it hasn't come out yet. So I hope it does well. It sounds like it's going to be funny.
Oh, yeah. It's another one of those nutty ones where even if you did wait till it got home, it's just a laugh. You know, nothing to go, that could never happen. Duh. Of course, no. You know, like that. But, it's just a funny one. He's also got some other great, funny comedians in the movie with him as well.
All right. Greg Russell, Movie Show Plus. God bless you. Always a pleasure. Have a great weekend. Enjoy yourself down there in the cube and all around you with the NFL draft. Day number two. Another beautiful day. Thanks, Greg. As we continue on WJR. Friday, beautiful day, another beautiful day, beautiful night ahead with the day number two of the fabulous Detroit NFL draft. Record-breaking last night, 275,000 people in the footprint, maybe 400,000 people coming into Detroit during the day, I think was a figure I heard from the police. We're hoping for big numbers again tonight and tomorrow, for that matter, because we could break the record. We broke the record first night. We want to break the record for the entire draft. And a guy who's been a part of this from the very beginning and spends a lot of time on WJR, we really appreciate his help on so many shows, including the upcoming JR Afternoon with Chris Renwick, and in for Chris today, it's Mark Hollis, and he'll be live from the Cube on Woodward. So, Mark, you've been very busy and very involved and helpful to us at WJR as a part of the family, a part of the team.
Well, good afternoon to you. It's great to be with you. We're sitting here perched over Woodward Avenue just looking at people smiling like they were all evening last night.
I have heard all good things. I saw one person who in the news said, well, we drove 4.5 hours, and by the time we got here, they weren't letting any more people in. So he wasn't he was disappointed, as well you would be, but he wasn't blaming anybody. I mean, it seemed to me to fill up faster than anyone ever could have imagined.
And the city did a great job beyond the boundaries of what's called the perimeter, the NFL perimeter. There are other opportunities to go enjoy, watch on TV, socialize. So the city's really set up in a great way, regardless of if you're in perimeter or out of perimeter. But that's part. Actually, Kelly Kozel from the Detroit Lions and I, that happened to us last year in Kansas City, where we wandered away and all of a sudden they said, we're at capacity, and we couldn't get back in for a while. So it does happen at the draft, not only in Detroit, but at other locations as well.
This is something that you have, with the many others, been working on for years, and had to be very exciting when you found out from the commissioner that, in fact, Detroit was getting the nod. And has there been anything that you wish we would have done differently? It doesn't look like it or seem like it.
There's really not much. I think last night was a bit of a celebration. We kind of, when I was talking to the commissioner and his team today, it's like it's halftime. You know, it's not, the game's not over. We've got two more days, six more rounds. So there's much to do yet, but it was an unbelievable start. And the spotlight on the city of Detroit on a global stage was just absolutely beautiful.
Well, to see this all happening, realizing after moving away from New York after the 2014 draft, then it was Chicago. Chicago got it 2 years in a row, and I don't remember exactly why, 2015 and 2016. Then it moved to Philadelphia, then to Arlington, Texas, Nashville, Tennessee. Then it was virtual due to the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020. 2021, Cleveland, then Las Vegas, 2023, Kansas City, and this year, Detroit. And they already know that next year it will be in Green Bay. And that's been, this is one of the smartest things they've done. This is bigger than the Super Bowl, because more people can avail themselves to the opportunity to be here for something like this than can be for a Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's very accessible. The folks that you see walking the street are kind of a cross-section of our population, and that's what you want. It's people that can get into something where it's big scale. A lot of celebrities are here. At the same time, the fans own this event, and the fans that are both in the theater and outside are elevating this thing, not only here in Detroit, but all the other locations you mentioned. Green Bay, I think they're a little nervous. Many of their team is here observing this one, and they're like, wow, you're doing this one really good, and we're up next. So Detroit,
the pressure's on.
Yeah, the pressure's on. But it's, you know, every year it's a little different. The commissioner challenges, make this Detroit. And we were steadfast that this thing had to stay down in the core, not go out to Belle Isle, not go to Corktown. This is where it belonged, and I think everybody's looking at it now saying it's almost like a movie set for an NFL draft. So very happy about that.
And we should mention, we should never take for granted what you and your company, headed by Dan Gilbert and his team, which you're a part of, bring to the table here. What Rocket has done, what Bedrock, what Dan Gilbert, what Mark Hollis has done, has been rather incredible. And it all, we all benefit from all of this. It's all been spectacular. It's been quite a moment for you guys, given General Motors' big announcement moving into the Hudson Building, and the opportunity now. And I think it's great. Some people are questioning, well, what's going to happen now to Rensen? I think Rensen's going to get Gilbertized, and if it gets Gilbertized, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think I'm glad you brought that up, because anything in time, you want to look at what's happened before and what's going to happen afterwards. And Dan moving Quicken Loans, now Rocket Mortgage, down here at some 13, 14 years ago was a critical moment in this city's history. We recall the days of all the events that were coming into Detroit. Sort of went dark for about 10 years. Now you've got, with the infusion, with Mayor Duggan coming on board and in office, and the support that he's given events like this, you see this sequence of things that happened for RMC, Rocket Mortgage Classic, to be here, for the Grand Prix to move. Now you've got the NFL draft. You got the Final Four coming up next. These aren't moments in time. These are things that are going to propel Detroit into the future in so many ways. Folks making the decision to move here, to bring business here, and really infuse and turn the narrative on our population decline and bring it back up. So enjoy the draft, but it's bigger than the draft.
It is bigger than the draft. As we've said a number of times, and I suggested that all of us have been deputized or made ambassadors for the city of Detroit to welcome all of the people who are coming here for the first time or coming here from a different time and seeing a totally different brand new Detroit, that we are in dress rehearsal for many, many, many other great events that now, if we handle this correctly, as we have thus far, people are going to say, well, let's do it in Detroit. They really know what they're doing there.
And I'm glad you said it that way. Actually, I was sending some tickets out to some of our team members this morning, and I said just that at the end. Thank you for being an ambassador for Detroit, because while you're enjoying this, you're talking to people, you're welcoming people, whether you're at Rocket, the city, DDP, Visit Detroit, WJR, we are all ambassadors of this great city that we're fortunate to live in and welcome all these visitors in here.
And I got to tell you, you couldn't see this because you were there. Because of some issues I had, I was not there. But I got to see the television coverage, and I got emotional. First of all, I get emotional with flyovers. I get emotional with the national anthem. It's just the way I am. It's just the way I've been for a long time. I don't make excuses anymore. But to see the long camera shot overhead of the 275,000 people, plus, of the people, and mostly in their Lions blue, frankly, from far up high to look at the picture, was a picture I'd never seen before and didn't know that I'd ever see. The picture of Detroit in the midst of a national event that was going so well that we could embrace and just enjoy and love. And that's what people did, and that's what they'll continue doing today. And it was emotional. I got to tell you the truth, Mark. It was unlike anything I've ever seen, and I've seen a lot.
You're going to shed a tear at 6:50 tonight when that national championship Michigan Wolverine team jumps onto that stage and is celebrated in front of this crowd.
You bet I will.
You bet.
I may not wait until 6:50.
All right.
Mark Hollis, God bless you. Have fun there today. JR Afternoon with Chris Renwick with Mark Hollis. In for Chris on the Cube on Woodward for day two of the draft day. Don't forget, A.B., Anthony Bellino, and the legend, Lomas Brown, will be there tonight from 6 till 8. And WJR is there all the time covering this incredible event. Thanks to the team. Thanks to you. Have a great weekend. Regards, Paul W. Smith.